The 2021 NBA Finals have just now concluded, and tonight on the Mayo Show, we are here to break it down. I am joined again by Alex Vitale and Shane Harani, and we need to get right into it with this Finals, post-Finals podcast. Giannis had an all-time performance in that Game 6 last night, 50 points and, 13 or 14 rebounds, yeah, probably. One of the
blocks.
Maybe the greatest finals performances of all time. He's one of three players of all time to
get
50 points.
Did you say the greatest?
No, I did not say the greatest.
Yeah, okay. One of the greatest, bro. Pay attention.
Okay. All right.
I think that the greatest finals performance is probably
asked for opinion. Move
that
on.
MJ game six.
Oh, that's surprising here coming from Joey.
Yeah, I know.
I'm honest about that. I think that was the greatest finals performance.
Yeah.
Like in one game.
A single game. Gotcha. But Giannis put up some ridiculous series averages. I think he was averaging 35.3 points per game, 13 rebounds or something like that, and like two blocks, which is kind of nuts, to be honest. Just absolute beast of a performance. After coming off an injury, which I thought would just keep him out the rest of the series, Middleton showed up the entire finals after game two, which was good to see for him. Jrue Holiday didn't really show up, but I mean, he showed up for sure, but he wasn't as great as we expected, but he still helped play great defense on Choke Paul.
Yeah. And now Giannis not only has a ring, but he also has an iconic Chick-fil-A meal. Went on Instagram Live the day after and ordered a 50-piece.
With not a 49.
Half Sprite, half lemonade, no ice.
Yeah, that's pretty dope. I can definitely appreciate him as a person off the court. He's cool.
Yeah, he's a fun personality.
Yeah, I think that honestly, you guys were talking about Chris Paul and all that, but I think DeAndre Ayton kind of played a little scared last night.
Yeah, that's true. He was off the court. His defense was terrible. Long time.
You cannot let 50 points to the best player in a game six that decides it at home.
Yeah. It was all around bad performance. Devin Booker, after carrying the team the last two games, came up and was shooting brick after brick on good looks. Like Devin Booker, good looks. We saw him knock these down all series. It just wasn't going for him. Chris Paul somewhat showed up, but he's just been a disappointment the entire playoff series.
Yeah, Chris Paul did not even play that bad last night. It's just the thing is, as I was watching the game, he was being a little way too passive for my liking.
He passed up on like a wide open three.
He was taking up a bunch of shots, and he's got to take over at the end of those games. Like,
look,
he's got to want the ball in his hands. He can't be just like dishing it off and getting out of the way.
Especially when Booker,
he's got to be the guy. He's got to want this.
Look, Chris Paul played good in this series, and he played amazing statistically. Look at his numbers. He put up 24-8 on 50-50-90 shooting splits. But he wasn't great. He was good, but he just wasn't great. He wasn't like a finals game changer when it came down to it. And I think that's the root of a lot of his postseason struggles, is like he really isn't that guy that can go get you a bucket always, like Devin Booker. And this series came down to the second and third stars. And like Joey already said, DeAndre Ayton disappeared. So, I mean, it really came down in the late part of the games to like who can make the play, who can get that bucket. And Chris Paul really just wasn't that guy.
Yeah, props to Jrue Holiday for keeping Devin Booker on lock last night. That was huge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Even though we shot 4 of 19 again.
Yeah.
Such a disappointment on offense. It's kind
he
of
almost had a triple double. He was actually one rebound away from a triple double.
Just doesn't feel like it though, did it? Like you said, what was he, 4 for 19?
Yep.
Yeah, it's just not good, especially in the finals performance. But I guess give him props for playing great defense all series long. We saw Chris Middleton down the stretch. He hit that like fadeaway jumper, tough shot. Booker just not contesting at all. Like Booker just stands there without his hands up, but he hit that tough shot. That basically sealed the game, I think. And from there, it was just like stopping the Suns one possession. It was over. And again, Chris Paul, when Booker's struggling and Ayton is non-existent, he's got to show up, and he just didn't show up as much as he should have.
Yeah, I really liked how Chris Middleton like wasn't afraid of the moment. Like, he's willing to take those shots, and he's come up big in some of these games in the playoffs, like making those shots, like you said, those tough shots, fadeaway shots that Devin Booker also makes. But he's actually made them more down the stretch, and he made the dagger in the game pretty much.
Yeah. And earlier in the playoffs, too, against the Heat, he had the game winner in game one as well. Basically the same shot.
Yeah, I just want to talk about Giannis going 17 for 19 on free throws after all this slander and stuff on the free throws. I mean, I'll admit it. I did slander him a little for the free throws, too. But he did come back and made 17 of 19. Like, that's incredible.
It's the mindset. Yeah. Just confidence, I guess. No one was counting. You couldn't hear the counting. He's just thinking. Just shooting shots. Seeing
that first one drop.
Yeah, it's all confidence. He made the first three, I think, and he was just like, from there, he was just like, yeah, this is going to be his day where he's just going to make shots.
I'm just going to read something. This Bucks team does not have that championship culture and doesn't have that real need to win. Suns got this in the bag. This was after the Suns went up 2-0.
Mr. Joey Rabbits. Rabbits.
Mr. I'll take the L.
I'll take the L with that one.
It's a huge L. It's a huge L.
Very big L.
Me and Alex. The series was over.
Bucks all the way.
Yeah. I thought.
I will admit, I said Bucks in seven. So they even surprised me.
Imagine. No, I'm joking. I think I said Bucks in seven, too, to be honest.
Yeah, I think he did.
I didn't expect them to win four straight, if I'm being brutally honest. I expected them to win three straight and then lose and then win in seven. But no, they won four straight. They were just rolling.
You know what I'm going to learn from this, though? I'm gonna learn something from this. Here's my takeaway. I'm never going to decide something and say something like that after a team goes 2-0 because it's never over. A series is never over until the home team loses.
Yeah, exactly.
Very true.
Which makes me
– the Bucks didn't lose at home.
That made me realize how much of a choke the Mavericks had this year against the Clippers. They went up 2-0 winning both games in L.A.
And then they just no one won a home game until game seven in that series. Yeah. That series was so whack.
Joey was right about one thing. He told me, like, I think it was game one when we were watching the game. He said, "I have a feeling this series is just going to six games." He said, "This series will not have a game seven." He had a gut feeling. He was right about that.
Mm-hmm.
After this historic run in the NBA Finals by Giannis, where does he rank in the power forward spot all time?
Well, I've seen a lot of people put him second, which I think that's valid. I mean, there isn't much of an argument to say he's not second if you're just looking at accolades right now. But if you're just looking, you know, if you're actually like comprehending a whole player's career, I don't know if I'd put him as far as second right now. Maybe third or fourth, because guys like Karl Malone definitely, you know, you can't just discredit that longevity that they had.
I can't, you know. Joey, what is your expression right now? Do you disagree with the fact that Giannis is top five at least?
To be honest, I just think it's so ridiculous that at the age of 26, we're like comparing to him to all the, to like the top
because he's so accomplished.
Of all
he's so
time.
Accomplished already.
I know he's so accomplished. But he's so young, and he's nowhere near the end of his career. And
that's not what we're saying. We're just saying now.
That's why I'm saying that the fact that he's 26 and so accomplished already, he should be discussed with these guys already because he is almost as accomplished as all of them at the age of 26.
He's more accomplished.
Which is why I don't know why it's so crazy to compare him to guys like Dirk, KG, and Karl Malone.
I don't think he's anywhere near Dirk, in my opinion. I think he could be honestly near Kevin Garnett, but Dirk had that legendary 2011 finals run. He had an MVP. He's just a legendary player. And
very true.
He's like one of the top scorers of all time. And but like Karl Malone, even though he didn't win a ring, he went against like MJ and also Charles Barkley in like what, two finals appearances. And Karl Malone on the Utah Jazz was in multiple conference finals, obviously lost. But, I mean, those are two legendary players that did, like, so much. And I think it's crazy to already put Giannis like above players like that at that position.
Look, yeah, I get that, but like if we just run down how most players are ranked on a greatness scale, right? Like, you know, in people's lists, they look at their accolades and like their accomplishments. Right now, Giannis has more MVPs than Dirk, more Defensive Player of the Years than Dirk, same amount of rings as Dirk, same amount of finals MVPs as Dirk. So like, I get that Dirk obviously played for longer and is way higher on every all-time list because of that. But like, he is just as accomplished already as these guys were mentioning.
Yeah, here's my case for both sides of the story. I don't know if I would quite put him at two yet. Obviously, we all know Timmy D's far above at this point in time. But I can hear an argument for why Giannis would be number two. He is just as he's more accomplished than most of these guys. He's 26. He's done everything you could do at this point. Just needs more rings at this point, really, right? Just more rings?
I mean, I think just like continuing his resume, yes, like All-Stars, All-NBAs.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I think if he keeps this up, he can for sure be the best power forward of all time.
So by progression right now, it wouldn't be that absurd to me if you said he was number two. But at, like Joey was saying, he hasn't played the same amount of time as these guys. Obviously, not his fault. He's 26, but he's just not there yet for me to put a two. However, three and four is, I think, is pretty clear for him, actually. I don't think Karl Malone compares to him. I think Karl Malone's five, to be honest. A guy who's never won a ring. You can say that he played against MJ and that's cool and all, but I mean, he never won a ring. And that's huge. That's huge in a player's career.
Yeah. And I think it's a little bit off topic here, but I think it's no debate that Giannis is the greatest player of all time at age 26. No one else's resume even compares to his at this age. I mean, it's pretty crazy what he's been able to do at this young point of his career. And he was already receiving hate in like these last couple postseasons where the Bucks couldn't finish their postseason runs. He was getting hate saying like he'll never do it. Like, people need to calm down on some young players sometimes. I feel like just let their, you know, experience handle the rest, because Giannis is 26 and it already seems like he's a veteran. Like a long veteran, the way he's playing in the postseason.
Yeah, and he just had one of the greatest final, like you said earlier, one of the greatest finals performances in general, like the whole playoff, one of the greatest playoff performances of all time. And he's just putting up ridiculous numbers at 26. It's crazy to think that he's not even being compared.
Let's just remember that Giannis wouldn't even have been in the finals if the Nets were healthy.
Hater.
But that's how it works in the playoffs sometimes. Like, the playoffs comes along with luck, and playoff success does come along with luck a lot of the time. So nothing against Giannis. Nothing should ever be against LeBron winning in the bubble also. And I think Hey, I'm sorry. Some people put an asterisk on this one too, and people put more of an asterisk on the other one. They're like the same thing.
Let's just remember, undoubtedly, the Suns had an even easier path to the finals than the Bucks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they did have the harder run, in my opinion, out of the two teams.
For sure. After this finals, what do you guys think? Where does this like rank all time? For between other finals, such as like the 2016 and some of those legendary finals that we've seen in the past?
I definitely don't think it's 2016 level. I mean, that's given.
Oh, for sure.
I don't think anything's 2016 level. But I think this was a very high-ranked finals, in my opinion. Even though it didn't go to seven games, it felt like, you know, it had that energy in game six and game five and game four. Because every game from that point on was so crucial. Like game four of the Bucks lost, series basically over. You know, they go down 3-1. Mm-hmm. Game five, the swing game, 2-2 in Phoenix. And then game six to close it out. And there were so many like iconic moments in this finals and hype plays to close out the games. And I mean, I think it was a very good finals. I think it's probably the third best of the last 10 years, of the last decade?
Well, I don't think it was better than 2013 or 2010. So
I wasn't counting 2010. I was counting like, well, 2000, that was 2009, 2010. Yeah, I was counting like 11 on.
Yeah, but that Celtics-Lakers series was an all-time great for sure, that 2010. But I think that most, if not all, Game 7 series just go ahead of this one, in my opinion, because there's just a different energy and a different type of feeling of watching a Game 7, or I imagine playing in a Game 7. But the series definitely did feel high intensity, and there was so much in the atmosphere. And for Game 6, you could feel for both teams, like, there was a closeout game at home for the Bucks, and the Suns were fighting for their season, and Chris Paul for maybe his career to get that first championship and get over the hump. So there was definitely a lot of drama in the series. It was really fun to watch, but it definitely doesn't totally compare to some of the great ones in the past.
Yeah.
And I think people that just about this, wraps it up. What?
I was going to say, people who said this finals was boring, it's such a, like, I feel like it's such a false statement. Every game of the series was super entertaining with, like, special performances here and there. You saw the Middleton 40-point game, the Booker back-to-back, the Giannis 50. We had, like, the block and the alley-oop to Giannis at the end of the game. Mm-hmm. Every game was super entertaining. So I just think it was a great finals.
Yeah, it was super entertaining. And also, like, Mike Budenholzer, I mean, if he lost like the series against the Nets, or if he got like swept or beaten like five games by the Suns, we got to remember that he doesn't have a job next year. So it's crazy that they pulled it out and won this thing, and he's going to have a job in Milwaukee next year, even though he might have not been the greatest coach all year.
I think he got a little bit overhated.
I agree.
I think he deserves.
We can all agree that he wouldn't have had a job if he lost to the Nets, though. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think
for sure.
The way that the Bucks franchise had gone, how frustrated they were. But I think he deserves some credit for making Giannis's playstyle work in the modern NBA. Because, I mean, that's unheard of, like, outside of the Bucks, really. Having a superstar that can't shoot, like, it's hard to work around that.
Yeah.
And one quick question. Do you guys think this was the best six-game series you've ever seen?
That we've ever seen?
What are other ones that compare to this?
Yeah, I can't really think of six-game series.
That's what I'm saying, you know? Like, I've never seen a six-game series with, like, this type of energy. Obviously, because it's the finals, so...
Yeah, and it's two teams that, like, you never see in the finals. Like, obviously, yeah, so it was the Bucks' 50th year anniversary, and the Suns hadn't won in forever either, so, like...
They haven't won.
Yeah, they haven't ever won. So, I mean, both teams were desperate. I mean... You could see on the Suns' fans' faces, they were obviously super disappointed and super upset.
Yeah.
And with the Bucks, I mean, everyone was just going crazy. There were like 60,000 people outside of the arena in the Deer District, which is insane. It just shows you, maybe you might not have thought there were so many Bucks fans, but I mean, I guess there are.
Every city has its fans once their team's in the finals.
Facts. Yeah. Well, I think that just about wraps it up for this NBA post-finals podcast. Hope to see you in the next one. Peace.